y'all tuned into the greatest.
Welcome to The Real Estate Report, the podcast you can trust with valuable information and tech tools you can apply to the real estate game. And now your host, August Alexander.
Welcome to The Real Estate Report. You could be honestly anywhere in the world, but you are here with us in the best place in the world to get all of your real estate and entertainment. I'm here, August Alexander, and I'm joined with Jackie Polisi and also with Sven Bakkeballer. And he confessed to me earlier this morning before the show that his favorite song is Hold Me Close for Tony Danza. And today, we're going to explore that a little bit later on the show. But we've got so much more going on right now. We've got our pocket listings. We've got What Moves You with Jackie P. We're going to get into it because that's what we do here on the Real Estate Report. So tell us about the pocket listings today. What do we got?
This week, I'll be talking about the exodus from central business districts. There's a survey that predicts real estate will remain in decline. A congressman is trying to help out by offering up a high-risk lifeline for commercial real estate industry. And the housing market confidence continues to bounce back. A little bit of good news at the end.
I'll take it. Yeah. I like it. Jackie, what moves you this week?
Well, what moves all of us? It's a question. To relocate or to renovate? Two questions, especially during this time when we're looking at our home and thinking, should I tear out those kitchen cabinets and start all over, or should we just buy a new home? Kind of a poignant question, but lots of things to consider. So we're going to talk about those pros and cons coming up.
Outstanding. And I, as always, have a great main story for you. And this week I'm going to talk about a little passion project that I had back in 1984. It started off as an independent film. You guys may have heard of it. It was called The Money Pit.
Yeah, I heard that.
And long time ago, Tommy Hank.
Tommy.
Yeah, he's grown up a lot since then. But back when I wrote it, it was great, and it's a great story. It's a great coming of age story about two lovers who decide to invest in this home, and the home, it has so many things that are wrong with it. And today we're going to find out, what does that have to do with COVID, and what does it have to do with us?
Renting, buying, relocating, all of those things.
All of those things. And Sven, his beautiful grandmother actually makes an appearance in my movie in 1984 as the landlady above Tommy Hanks living upstairs. So if you get a chance, go back and watch it. It's an amazing movie.
August, I think all your movies start to run together because it was actually 1986.
That was what it was. It was 1980 something. It's all a blur. I'm a savant.
So many movies, so little time.
So many movies. So we're going to get on with it. Thanks for tuning into the Real Estate Report today. Real Estate Report is sponsored by Open Space, bringing us together smarter, safer, stronger. Open Space, download it wherever you get any of your applications for iOS or for Android at your favorite store. All right, it is time for us to get into our first segment of the show, and we are going to get into some pocket listings with Sven.
Sven.
That's enough.
Muhlenberg. You're going to get it one day. I know you are.
I'm really working on it.
Hi, Sven.
Hi, Jackie. Thank you very much, August. We are witnessing an exodus from central business districts, what we talked about last week with people wanting to move out of the cities. So basically, businesses are following them. They want to be where the people are so that they can attract the talent pool that they need. CEO of Marcus & Millichap, Hassam Naji, says he expects this exodus from city centers to last up to 2 years. This is not a short-term thing. It remains to be seen, however, how the suburban communities will reshape themselves to either attract or, these businesses, or do they want to remain residential? So we'll be watching that. He does, however, predict that demand will come back to the city centers after the shift is over in 2 years. So it'll be another COVID boomerang. This isn't just a New York problem, as probably many of you were thinking. Seattle, Miami, Phoenix, Salt Lake City, and Nashville are all impacted by this trend. And it's also not just a COVID issue. Millennials started looking at suburbs and starting families about 3 years ago. Now this is just accelerating the trend. A survey predicts real estate will remain in decline. That's an uplifting headline, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah. According to a survey conducted by real estate advisory firm RCLCO, all sectors are down except warehouses supporting online shopping. I think that company needs a couple more initials.
Yeah.
You nailed
it, though.
Very easy to say. Sectors expected to hurt the most are regional malls, hospitality, and big box retail. Office space is also predicted to remain in decline due to the trend that we're seeing with work from home and companies reevaluating the need for office space.
There's a whole story on whether malls were going to survive this or not. I mean, that's something I don't think I ever thought about, but truly, are they going to exist after this?
The rise of Amazon.
Yeah.
We need to buy warehouses, right? Fulfillment centers.
That's right.
There we go.
RCLCO's real estate market sentiment plunged to 9.2 in June 2020, its lowest level by far since they started tracking in 2011. This is a twice yearly poll that they do. And in December 2019, so the very last time they did it, the index was just under 65, and now it's at 9. 90% of respondents said that national real estate market conditions have gotten moderately or significantly worse than a year ago.
And that 65 to 9% was in 6 months' time.
Just 6 months' time.
That's pretty incredible.
That's the COVID. That's the bad landlord thing.
That's the bad landlord.
There is a congressman who is watching this, and he's pitching high-risk lifeline for commercial real estate industry. Texas Republican Representative Nicholas Van Taylor plans to introduce a bill that will authorize the Treasury to provide low-cost financing to real estate investors. A side note is that this congressman has spent 16 years as a real estate investor before getting elected into Congress 2 years ago.
He's a bit more invested than...
Yeah. He knows these people that he's trying to help out.
Yeah.
The Helping Open Properties Endeavor Act, called the HOPE Act, aims to help avoid these foreclosures that will inevitably happen to commercial real estate. Now, that the endeavor is a weird word there, but he had to find an E because nobody wanted to have a HOPE Act.
Acronyms are hard anyway.
Yeah, acronyms are hard.
They do good.
Rates for these loans could be as low as 2.5%, but there are restrictions. You had to be in good standing before the pandemic. And a limit of 10% of your existing debt is what is available to you. The reason that it's risky is because these wouldn't be loans. They're what's called preferred equity. The difference there is preferred equity investors don't have a secured claim if the borrower goes belly up. On a good news,
yay!
I want a little bit of a good news to end the segment. Housing market confidence continues to bounce back. Fannie Mae's Home Purchase Sentiment Index continued to rebound last month from its near record lows in the spring. The index fell 30 points in March and April, and in May it gained 4.5 points, and in June it gained another 6 points. So we're getting back up there. It's currently at 76.5, which is down 15 points from a year ago, but it's still better than, you know, it's getting better. Survey respondents expressed a significantly more positive view of home buying conditions than in the spring, of course. 61% right now said that it's a good time to buy, in their opinion. And 41% said that it's a good time to sell, which I find interesting because we've been talking that it's a bit more of a seller's market right now. Mm-hmm. One factor holding the numbers down is job security. 26, a good quarter of respondents are concerned about losing their job right now.
I can imagine.
It makes sense.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah, the COVID impact, the COVID effect.
I'm interested in a year from now to hear all of those numbers and those statistics and how they'll change. And there'll be those ebbs and flows throughout these next 6 months, but it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out. Ben, those were great pocket listings. Always good information.
Thank you, Jack.
Thank you so much. If you want to hear more about the pocket listings that we have, just go to realestatereport.tv. You can learn about this week's pocket listings and all of the pocket listings that Sven has had. So thank you so much.
You're welcome.
So we're going to get into the next segment, which is always a great segment. I always like finding out what moves you, Jackie.
Thank you.
What do you got on tap?
Well, I think it's information that really moves everyone in this industry, right? So our topic today is to renovate or to relocate. So there's some things to think about. You're unhappy with your certain aspects of your home, right? And so you may find yourself contemplating whether to buy new or to renovate your existing space. Now, of course, there are pros and cons to both options. So let's talk about a couple of those. Now, the benefit of renovating and staying. Renovating can be a hassle, but so can moving, and perhaps even more so. When you buy a new house, you're signing up to pack up your existing home and move to a new one. That can be a daunting task. Yeah, I don't like it. But is it a good reason to renovate? Well, you'll have a home that caters to your specific needs. But let's say you're unhappy with your outdated kitchen and you want a new one. You could find a brand new home with a new kitchen, but you may not love the color of the cabinetry. So guess what? Back to square one. And when you stay in your home and renovate, you get to call the shots on what's being improved. And you may find that renovating is more cost-effective than actually moving. Because when you sell a home, you need to pay a real estate agent for facilitating that sale. You move, you need to cover the cost of moving. And you move, you need to cover the cost of those closing costs on their mortgage. Mm-hmm. Now, renovating, on the other hand, can be done quite affordably if you have equity in your home, because that opens the door to a home equity loan or a line of credit, and that gives you access to the money you need to make those improvements. Also, now the right renovation to your existing house can give you a great return on your investment, so that when the time comes to sell, you're able to command top dollar for it, and you get to enjoy all of the updates and all of the upgrades yourself in the meantime. And in some situations, renovating, well, it could make it possible to turn your home into an income source. So let's say you've just finished the basement, for example. Well, that could present an option to rent out to a tenant, and you could be making some monthly income. All right, so let's talk about the benefits of buying new. And there are, of course, plenty of benefits to buying a new home rather than renovating. First, you'll get to avoid the annoyance of living in a construction zone for any period of time. Okay, you'll also get out of the logistics of renovating, from securing permits to reading up on building code requirements. There's all kinds of things to think about. And if the cost of your renovation is substantial, well, you may find that moving to a new home actually makes more financial sense. So it's something to consider. Though you'll need to apply for a new mortgage, interest rates are relatively low right now. And if your credit is strong, well, there's a good chance you'll be able to score a pretty good mortgage.
Yeah, they're historically low.
Yeah, exactly. And so you'll need to weigh that out as you go along. You know, if it's not a good time because those interest rates aren't good, then you might stay put and maybe renovate and do something that makes sense to enjoy in mm-hmm. the meantime. All right. You know, moving can also afford you to enjoy different amenities that are not available to you in your current home, in your current neighborhood. And that may be what's prompting your decision to actually relocate. So, relocate or renovate? What's right for you? Of course, there are pros and cons to remodeling a home you're not happy with, and there are pros and cons to uprooting your life, selling your home, and buying new.
This sounds like that show Love It or List It.
Love It or List It, right, exactly. Yeah. Because you're either going to love the new home you move into, but if you have to make renovations in that new home, you might as well stay in a home that you know well mm-hmm. and make some of those changes and maybe add some value to your home. It's definitely something that you need to sit down and talk about with the family or your significant other, but write those pros and cons down because it'll be right in front of you. It really will.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think that really leads into a lot of other things that we've discussed over the last few weeks. But also, most importantly, right now you can get 2K3 loans.
Yes.
Those absolutely help, especially if you don't have the equity in your home, but you have an older home. And some of these different areas like Wash Park. Getting the 2K3 loan actually help with the renovation costs to help update neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. So the government gives those quite easily. So that's another option that people have as well.
And that's the thing. There are always so many options. And it's really, don't make a quick trigger decision just because everybody else is uprooting themselves and moving to a new home. Really think about the home you're in, the amenities, your kids, the school district, the things that you really like about your home, and decide whether the investment should be putting into your current situation.
Mm-hmm. Both times I was selling my house, I've sold two houses. They come in and they say, well, you need to update this before you sell it.
Right. And there's that.
Oh, why didn't I do that and enjoy that room for a few years?
Exactly.
Before selling.
Yeah, yeah. But, and we can later get into really that return on investment and really what you should be upgrading in that mid-level range that's going to make sense financially, but also a chance for you to enjoy it and recoup your money in the end.
All right. So thank you so much, Jackie.
You're welcome.
Definitely. Well, again, we'll have more information on those. You can go to the realestatereport.tv. And if you want to just get Jackie's What Moves You segment, you can go ahead and go in there, push the play button below it, and be able to get this week's segment.
All right. Sounds great.
All right. So up next is me.
Yay.
It's me. And we're going to talk about my movie, my passion project, and how it is changing the way that COVID works in 2020. And, you know, I'm super excited to share this with you all. I've got a little thing that I'd like to share with you guys.
Love it.
I had mentioned at the beginning of the show an independent film that I made back in 86 uh-huh. with a little known actor at the time, Tommy Hanks. Uh-huh. you know, he's gone on to make a couple of movies since then. Nothing as good as what we made together, but it was called The Money Pit. The movie has one of the best premises of all time. There is a couple that Tom Hanks, Shelley Long from Cheers.
Mm-hmm. I remember her.
Oh, you can't beat Shelley Long from Cheers. And they are living in an apartment, and the apartment is owned by her ex-husband, who is a conductor of the orchestra, and they are living in this home, and he kicks them out. So, which, you know, just the idea that you're living in your ex-husband's apartment, which was a crazy terrible apartment to start with. And so they get kicked out of this apartment, and they find this house out in the suburbs that is, you know, well under market value. And so they purchase it. And they go in, purchase this house. They see that there's so much work that needs to be done to this home, but they're in it together. Mm-hmm. And they decide that they are going to work through it, and they are going to remodel this home together. And as they begin to remodel this home, they melee ensues. Things, you know, there's explosions and holes in floors, and it basically pushes young Tommy to madness. Mm-hmm. Causes Shelley to leave. And she moves back to the city, and he is on his own, taking cold baths and almost electrocutes himself, so on and so forth.
Yeah.
But in the end, love prevails, and the house actually ends up being finished. They get back together. They have an amazing wedding, and the ex-husband actually conducts the orchestra at the end of the movie. So I think I did an amazing job. I don't know why I wasn't nominated for Best Screenwriter Actor or Best Screenwriter Oscar for this film. But if you haven't seen it, it's The Money Pit, and you should go back and check it out. And I probably won't get any royalties for it. But
it was a great movie, by the way.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
There is so much that is happening right now in our current forced quarantine situation, our forced normal that we're dealing with. That is so similar in literal and metaphorical ways. And one example in your What Moves You segment, you talked about the idea of moving or renovating the home that you have. And as we've seen over these last few months, a few things, if you've just gone out to a hardware store, you see how many lines there are outside of these hardware stores, as well as how many supplies there are not. Because now, you know, over the last few months, those honey-do lists have gotten substantially longer.
True.
And in every line outside of a Home Depot, a Lowe's, an Ace Hardware, two things are absolute constants. One, there is a husband and wife that are in line there. And two, there's a husband who doesn't want to be there. So, you know, now you've got no excuse. You are trapped, and the honey-do list that you have put off with the excuse of, I have to go to work, or I have something else to do, or I've got football to watch. All of those things have been taken away from you, like an evil ex-husband landlord who has no interest in your happiness. That is COVID. That's who he is. He's a bad ex-husband.
And nobody likes COVID.
That's right. And he has banished us all to this place where we are now in the money pit too. We are there.
The sequel. Yeah.
Right. I'm working on it. I'm writing it. I see it. It woke me up at 4 o'clock in the morning. And now we're doing renovations to homes. And now these renovations that we thought were these small things that we may have put off or we may have not wanted to do in the first place, now we are engrossed in doing these things.
Yeah.
And what seemed like a small thread to pull has now turned into a giant 6x6, 4 foot deep hole in your backyard.
Yeah.
And once you start, you cannot go back, right?
Yes, exactly. And if you experience a situation that is anywhere similar to somebody that I know, your wife constantly wants to improve and renovate inside of the home. And so, yes, after you paint the kitchen, those cabinets don't match anymore.
Right.
But she was smart, and she knew that was the case in the first place. She knew she was going to get those cabinets. In essence, now we are trapped in this situation, and now we're cohabitating with the worst boss in the world. And the alternative is the evil ex-husband who is out in the world trying to infect the rest of our happiness. So, you know, really, what is it? How do you deal with it? How do you deal with the situation of figuring out when too much is too much? What makes sense to do now?
Mm-hmm.
What makes sense to do later without getting yourself into a hole? Because that also is the other problem, is that there's not a lot of forethought that goes into it, where you say, okay, well, I want to fix this and I'm going to fix this because we've got nothing else to do. We're sick of sitting here and watching Netflix all day and binging The Real Estate Report. And after that's done, now you've got to figure out, you know, what makes sense without putting ourselves in a hole, without making a money pit inside of our home. And that's what I think a lot of people are struggling with right now. They've, you know, started these different jobs and started doing these different renovations. Some are very simple. Some are just as simple as going out and doing something in the garden or adding a garden, etc. Some are more extensive, like, you know, adding an entirely new room in your basement or putting in a bathroom, those types of things. And as you set off on those treks, when you, you know, first started, you thought it was going to be a very simple project. And now you've gotten 2 months into it, and maybe a budget that you weren't expecting to initially, you've spent. And now you've got to figure out how to fix it or finish it. And maybe it might be beyond your expertise to be able to do that.
Absolutely true.
And so now you've got to pay for the job twice.
Yeah.
Because you've got to bring in a professional.
Exactly.
To finish up the job. So three things that we're going to cover to help you from falling into the money pit. One, you've got to lay out the job. You've got to know exactly what it is that you're doing.
Visualize it.
That's right. You can't just say, I want to paint the walls in the kitchen, knowing that those cabinets are going to have to go because it's never going to work. Right? So you've got to lay that out very first and foremost and know exactly what the full expectation of the job is. Two, you've got to set the budget once you do that. And you've got to talk to your spouse. Divorce rates are up, ladies and gentlemen. COVID is wrecking lives. People are finding out that the person that they lived with on a part-time basis is not the person they wanted to spend the rest of their life with. And it has to do with the money pit.
Well, when you fight about dark cabinets versus light cabinets, and it's just this never-ending battle, the woman usually gets her own way, but
yes.
You know, I'm just saying. But you're right. Define that budget. Talk to your partner, your spouse, and visualize that project from beginning to end and understand what that looks like. Because like you said, once you dig that hole, you can't undig. I mean, you can, but you really don't want to have to do that.
Absolutely. And it is a very interpersonal situation that you have to deal with, because it has everything to do with your personal happiness. Mm-hmm. You know, we talk about it all the time, your internal and your external communication. What your expectations are may not be what your spouse's expectations are. And so you've got to make sure that you're realistic with those things. And it has to be in line with what your budget is, realistically. Because we have so much uncertainty as far as, you know, what people are able to do economically and when things are going to bounce back and jobs will be available, etc. You do not want to go into a situation where, A, maybe you're spending too much money as far as what you have in your savings. You don't want to put yourself in a situation where you're doing that. It does improve the cost of your home or the value of your home. But if you're not planning on selling anytime soon, that value is not going to be realized immediately.
Right.
Going inside and getting new home equity line of credits, you also would like to take a look and see what other opportunities you have. Like we had stated before, 203 loans have a very limited amount that you have to pay back, which is actually less than a home equity line of credit. That might be another option for you as opposed to going home equity line of credit immediately, because you might need that money later. So that's another thing to consider, is what options are there out there for financing? And some great contractors out there, once you've vetted them and you've seen what they're able to do and what they're able to not do, some of them also offer construction loans on the homes themselves. So that might be another way for you to go without going into your savings and breaking the bank for those types of things. Because we know two things don't work together. One is financial strain on a relationship does not work very well. And communication strain. That type of strain in a relationship also does not work very
well. That's right.
So to create those types of situations when you have a perfectly happy life together are unnecessary. So you've got to be completely realistic about what those two expectations are. And then third, which is the last thing, which has everything to do with what your segment was to move or to stay. What is the purpose of the renovations? Are we doing it because maybe next fall or next year, we are considering putting the house on the market. And so doing these renovations now will save us later, and this is what the end result is going to be. Or are we going to try to get a few, three, four, five more years out of this home? And so what are those renovations going to do to help us be more comfortable over that time period? So that, in a nutshell, has so much to do with why I wrote the movie back in 86. We were dealing with Reaganomics during that time, and you know, there was a bit of a recession, and you know, and people needed to be very conscious of how they were spending their money.
Absolutely.
And that was a McMansion during that time.
Yes,
it was a very large estate that they purchased. But we've, you know, nowadays we're in the same situation with that evil ex-husband, COVID. So let's stay in front of it, ladies and gentlemen.
I like that. Stay in front of it.
That's right. So
good job.
Thank you so much for indulging me and listening to how I can put things that have nothing to do with each other together on this week's Real Estate Report. And I know we've got some great ways that you guys can interact with the show and also stay in front of some of the topics that we have coming up in coming weeks.
realestatereport.tv. realestatereport.tv will afford you all of the things that you need to be able to see any of the pocket listings, the What Moves You segment, and of course our main stories, which are always fun. But you can also follow us on social media and you can find out that information on there, as well as connect with us, because we want to hear what you want us to talk about. Whether it's buying, selling, renting, or fixing up, we want to know, what do you want to hear about? We'll do some research, we'll find a story that works for you, but we want you to connect with us. So be sure and do that on our website.
Yeah, and you could also ask me to wear tighter shirts.
The world is changing, but the need for housing is not. Whether you're selling a home, buying a home, or needing a place until you decide, Open Space is here for you. Open Space makes safely managing your next home transaction easy. We all need a place to call home, and the world is full of uncertainty. COVID kept us apart. Open Space is bringing us back together. Stronger, safer, smarter.
The proceeding was a paid program on KRDO News Radio. KRDO News Radio does not confirm nor deny the validity or accuracy of the information contained in this program, and the views expressed do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of the staff and management of KRDO News Radio.